It seems quite fitting that we're doing it this morning. And I think we're going to show a clip now just about our camp that we went away. We went away for a youth camp last month. And one of the amazing things is, you know, we don't come to church, we don't come to a meeting. We are family that God has put together. And one of the things that God does for us, and one of the things that Jesus did for us, is he brought us into family. And we received into his family in heaven, but he brings us into a family here on earth as well. And it's very important that we grab that because we are one big, wonderful family. Amen. And this is our youth who is part of this family. So we're going to show a clip and then we're going to give some feedback on what we did and what God did on this weekend.
One of those bells that they ring at school when class starts. Morning. Are you cold? No, yes.
I don't know about you, but I can hear Ivan in my head. So we had a wonderful time. We went away to a place called Olifants River Lodge, which is near Middelburg. It's a beautiful place out in the mountains. We camped out there. There's hikes that you can go on. There's horse riding. There's heated pools. And there's lots of things that we can do. But one of the things we did, I'm going to ask him just to share, maybe they can share about the hike and what happened there. But what we did is we spoke about foundations. And that's what we went and did there is what is a foundation? And they were just taught about what is the foundation in your life. And we all build on a foundation. But it may not be the foundation of Jesus Christ. So just a thought, you know, what foundation are you building on? And we went through foundations because actually the word says if you're not building on the foundation of Jesus Christ, you're actually not building on any foundation. So whatever you do, when any storm or trial or tribulation comes along, you will be shaken and it will fall. All right, so sometimes we build on success, sometimes we build on fame, sometimes money is our foundation, sometimes it's something else. But if it's not Jesus Christ, you're not building on a secure foundation. So that was the teaching that we went through. But I'm going to ask them to share now. Who wants to share? I think Ross can speak a little bit about the hike.
It was an interesting hike. like at the start of it, to me, like sprained ankle, I think, or hurt her ankle, so she had to go back with Craig and PJ and Veronica, I think you also went. And then the rest of us carried on. We got to the mountain peak, then we went on our way back and we got lost like three times because the markings back were all over the place. So that was also interesting. And yeah, full of blackjacks, of course, and all the other fun stuff that comes with hiking. And then yeah, we also we did the teaching the next day afterwards because not all of us were there, and everyone was also very tired from the hike because we were kind of lost and we hadn't had breakfast. We thought it was going to be quick, but it didn't end up being quick. And yeah, it was a fun hike in the end. Everyone was able to keep it together, thankfully. No one panicked too much. But yeah.
Nothing, I don't think. You sure? Say something.
The heated pool was very nice, especially at the middle of the night.
All right, thanks. So if we can continue to pray for the youth, continue to have good times. We want this group to grow. Awesome. And it was a real blessing. And we just thank the parents for allowing us to take them away and sharing them with us, because they are a real, real blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's give them a hand. Thank you, everyone. God bless you all, eh? Thanks, Craig and Sharon. Okay, can I have the young kids in the front here, please? If the worship team is here, I'd like them to just come in, and I don't know where they've disappeared to, but I've got a word for them. I don't know where the rest of the guys are. If the young kids want to come to the front, and if we can get that projection going, please. Donovan, I want to just talk to you. Donovan, I just sense there's, you were trying to break into something new this morning. And I just say, the Lord wants to say, well done. But there's something happening in the worship. God's taking you into a new dimension. Something that happened in that breaking of change is that it's not just going to be about songs, it's going to be proclamation. And there's going to be power over that's going to break through. So often we think about preaching of the word as power, but in proclamation, in song, God will break through. And I just sense God's going to lead you as a worship team and take you into dimensions of proclamation of his word. And there's going to be power. There's going to be a release. You'll see waves of the Spirit of God just come in and through you. So, Father, we just pray your blessing upon Donovan and the team now. And, Lord, we release this new anointing, this new dimension of your grace. And that, Lord, that you would take your people into greater heights and dimensions of you now. In the name of Jesus. Over the whole team, Lord, we just release that now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Did something fall over? Okay. Guys, you want to just sit down quickly? I've got some things here. Have we got the slideshow? There we go. I want to give a report back on the Great Lakes. I've had an opportunity to go back again, and it's a testimony of Jesus. But, guys, how many languages do you speak? One. Sometimes two. Hey? We speak English, Afrikaans. The other folk, maybe you speak a bit of Zambian or Jumbo, the Swahili. I wanted to say Jumbo to Didi and his family here today. It's so great to have you back again with us, eh? Wonderful. But I want to teach you something that should be universal. We know we go to different nations and we try and learn thank you in many languages. And I think that's a good way to start. But I think as Christians and of lovers of the Lord, we need to be taught how to say Jesus loves you. So there, what does that say? Yesu anakupenda. Come on, say that. Yesu anakupenda. Yesu anakupenda. That is Swahili for Jesus loves you. So when you go up to the Great Lakes and you go to Tanzania and those, and you talk to the people, you say Yesu anakupenda and the smiles come out because you're speaking something that they understand, which is absolutely wonderful. So remember that. Yesu anakupenda. Now that's a big one. Roho takatifu. Roho takatifu. What does that mean? Holy Spirit in Swahili. Roho takatifu. And I tell you a story of my late friend that passed away, Manny, when he ate some chilies with his food. He never said a bad word, but he said, Roho takatifu! We exclaimed the power of the fire in his mouth at that time. And there's a lovely Kenya Rwanda. I've got some people that will actually correct me here. In Kenya Rwanda, for Holy Spirit is Mukawera. Mukawera. Mukawera, am I right, Moses? Mukawera. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is so powerful. And that's what I want to do today. I want to share with you about a testimony of Jesus in the Great Lakes. So thanks, guys. We're going to be doing some things a bit later with bread. You can go and be with mom and dad now. But remember, Yesu anakupenda. Hey, Jesus loves you. Okay, thanks, guys. Okay, I'm going to show you some photos. Oh, it's all girls. I'm sorry. Sorry, Joshua. Okay, let's try that again. Sorry. Okay, I haven't got a highlighter, but What happened this last while, I never had the intention to go back to the Great Lakes. Manny asked me to go back, and I just sensed in my heart, I wanted to go back to Europe to go and encourage the churches there. And I just said to the elders, the Lord was just coming back to me, no, 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 not to go. The doors were closing. And then Manny got sick, and he picked up that tumor on the brain. And we had a meeting before, and he asked me to go back to the Great Lakes to represent him and the team into that context. So it was just God's hand to go back into the Great Lakes, into this area that's part of our inheritance. And with Manny passing to be with the Lord, what has actually happened, I've been given the oversight with the team there to look after the Great Lakes. And this was a trip to actually work that out, to get the beautiful people that we've met into that context, the churches in that context. They're coming back to South Africa for the equip times and training times at the end of July, beginning of August, and then we're going back as a team back into that region in August too for sort of 9-10 training times. So I had to go there to go and organize all this. So this was a trip. So I flew from here to Kigali, and then straight into Bujumbura the next day, and then started to meet with the team on the ground. And because Manny was very close to all of them, we had a memorial service. So let's just see if it's going. It was working the other day, Robbie. Okay. I just want to get the slideshow going. How did we get it to work? Oh, there. Okay, Robbie. Okay, so we went to Rwanda, and you know those early days that we flew with Rwanda, it was the little planes that never used to arrive, and now Rwanda, we flew on an Airbus, which was incredible to get there. That was the view flying from Kigali to Bujumbura, just the silver lining, in a sense, God's promises to that area. So that was a bird's eye view of Bujumbura, downtown Bujumbura. Coming in there, a wonderful city. Even though the politics aren't so great, it's actually a wonderful city. So there we had the memorial for Manny. They do things a bit differently there. They hand out little badges for everyone. But you know, God builds relationships into other nations, and these people become family. You know, what they say to us when you arrive there, the first time you come, you're a visitor. The second time you come, you're a friend. The third time you come, you're a brother. And you know, that's important, and I think that's so important in the life of our church, is that we just don't attend church. We come to be part of the family, that we become brothers and sisters. We are the family of God. We are the body of Christ. And you know, Manny's going to be missed. You know, it was so surreal for me walking down the roads in Kigali and Bujumbura, and I didn't have Manny to talk to, but yet he's with our Lord, and he's rejoicing in our Lord, and we continue to work in this. So this is the songs they were singing, and at the memorial, that's Stanley's daughters, Esther and Grace. There's Dina, just the heartfelt, you know. Dina, she said to me, is that Manny wasn't a white man, he was a black man. So I said to her in another time, I said, you know, in the region there, they call us Muzungus, the white man. And I said to Adina, you know, I'm a Muzungu. And she says, no, 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 Mark, you're not a Muzungu, you're a black man too. So, so you know, the reality is that how close we've got to them. We don't speak their language, but they are family to us. And then that's Leonard that was giving eulogy. Leonard is from Gitega, and we'll be having a training time with him in August. And then they issued every one of us with flowers as a remembrance of Manny. And there's Metusela, the soccer star who plays with the president of Burundi. He plays in his team called Hallelujah FC. By the way, I wanted to say, I didn't get to that with the children. Hallelujah is a universal word in every single language. It's the same word. But you know what its root is? It's from the Hebrew word called halal, which is to love God through worship and praise. So when you're singing hallelujah, you're loving God in worship. But you know what they do in the Great Lakes, in the region in Africa, which we Muzungus don't do? When you say hallelujah, you're supposed to say amen. Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was one thing Stanley said to me. He said, Mark, when I come to your church and I say hallelujah, everyone looks at me. He can't understand it. So I'm training you. They're coming back here and they're going to be preaching here. So if he says hallelujah, you need to say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Metusela, and there's Gottfried from Uvira. Just such compassion and a love for Manny and for Jesus. And then this is the family that got together. We've been going into that region for 11 years. And Stanley's got 8 children, 4 boys, 4 girls. And these are some of the married ones now in all their traditional dress. Wonderful, wonderful people. Really grown up now. And that was a selfie. That's Stanley's daughter, Annie, taking a photograph of us. Do you know what was amazing? Technology. I was taking a photograph of one of the ladies. And she said, let me look at the photo. She didn't like it. She deleted it off my phone. They know technology better than I do. They're all with their cameras and phone and the internet, and you cannot believe. I had a day's rest, one of the few days or a few hours that I had. I went with Moses. Moses is Stanley's son, loves the Lord, absolutely loves the Lord. And I'm hoping he's going to be coming to South Africa in August now, and you'll meet him. Went to go and study in India. And came out with an M.Com. And yeah, he talks with an Indian English accent. Amazing. Crazy. And there's the children, the kiddies. The children are part of the service there. And they sing a song every Sunday. And from the tiny tots, they stand in the front. And they have got rhythm. They can move that feet like this. You cannot believe from that age that they can actually move their feet. And there we were. I just wanted to reemphasize, we were there to preach the gospel and just preach about Jesus. And there's the youngsters singing. Lovely, just incredible. They've got no words on the screen. They just all sing together. They learn the words. There's something that we've forgotten, that we get so dependent on books and on the screen. And if we don't have that, we can't sing songs. Because a lot of times when you memorize the song, you actually sing from your heart. And there's Stanley with his 2 grandchildren. The newest ones, the additions, and his daughter Annie, she wants to study medicine. And then we had opportunity. You know, this time I went there, I didn't plan to do anything. I just went to go and visit the churches, maybe talk to them and encourage them. But my goodness, the Holy Spirit just organized appointments with me, and it was just like meeting with people, the relationships that we've had over the years, some of the broken relationships that have happened over there, just to restore and to renew. And it was like, everywhere I went, there was another meeting and a divine appointment by the Holy Spirit. He just organized these things. And this was another one where Beatrice, who's been to our nation, said, come, I want to take you for coffee. Well, you don't get decent coffee places in Burundi. And my goodness, we found this coffee shop called a Belgium coffee shop. My goodness, I've never seen a coffee shop like that, even in South Africa. So we had some nice cappuccino. And then down at the lake, we went and had a Coca-Cola down there, and these are the hippos right on the lake, Lake Tanganyika. You know Lake Tanganyika? Butcherboro is a beautiful city, might be poor, but the setting with mountains on either side, and Lake Tanganyika, which is 673 kilometers long and 72 kilometers wide at its beautiful place. The bird life's incredible. And then there's Stanley and Dorcas. Now Dorcas comes from an area called Minembwe, which is in the DRC across these major mountains. And she came across from there because she heard that Manny had died. And she traveled, I don't know how many days, to get to thing, came to our lunchtime meeting, and she came and brought her condolences. She couldn't make the memorial, but there she came. And just a love for Jesus. It's just incredible. And Minembwe is a place we've been wanting to go to, but it's in the DRC, and it's quite dangerous because there's a lot of rebels in that area. But the Lord put in my heart there, but one day we will go there. But you're going to have to fly in there. But there are many Christians that are worshiping God. You know, the wonderful thing, Jesus doesn't leave you in a war-torn situation. He's there with you. And you know, when we went the first time back into Uvira, what actually happened, one of the guys there came back to you and said, you know, 25 years ago, where was independence at that time, and everyone left, the Swedish mission, and everyone left. Not a white face was left here. But he says, you know what? Jesus never left us. And he was there with us right through all these turmoils and all these different things. So whatever your situations, God will never leave you. Even the story of Corrie ten Boom tells the stories about how Jesus was with her in the concentration camps. And then this was like another divine appointment that Jean Didier and his wife Vera and a little son called Noah, and that's Leonard and that's Emmanuel, they're both coming down to South Africa. This couple got estranged in relationships. You know, things happen in churches. And God just enabled me through that memorial to go to their home. They invited me into their home. I've never been into their home before. And we had a meal together and just restore relationships. You know, God is in the business of restoration. Even though we have broken relationships, and you might have family broken relationships here, get about with the Holy Spirit and restore them. Because God wants to bring reconciliation. There we were with the family. That's their oldest son, Zoe. Wonderful what God is providing. And then this is Emmanuel and his wife, Frenier. And they come into South Africa, and we're looking forward. They must hopefully be in some of our homes here. Now, this was a divine appointment. There's a man named Joshua, and his wife's name, Blessing, and Stanley and Dina. Now, this is, I would eat at Stanley's home on the evenings, and then we arrived, I think it was the Monday, or the Tuesday night, or Sunday night, I think it was. We arrived there, get there at supper 7 to eat, and then Joshua's there. And he comes and he starts talking to me, and then we're sitting around the table, and he starts to give his testimony. He comes from Bangalore in India, and 15 years ago he moved to Bujumbura, and he was a rally mechanic, and he was very top of his trade and got many trophies, but he landed up in Bujumbura as a Hindu, and used to play cricket on a Sunday afternoon. That's when the Pakistanis go and, or Indians go play cricket in Bujumbura. But someone came, I think it was his wife now, came and said to him, Jesus loves you. And he said, he couldn't understand this. He's a Hindu, got millions of gods that he can worship. So on the Monday, he's got one, Tuesday, he's got one, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so he's got 7 gods that he can worship, and he can choose what he wants to, but then he must give to them. He gives money, or he gives fruit, or whatever, to these different gods. But he uses words, I was confusion. This God spoke to me, and he said to me, he loves me. No other of my gods here I've been worshiping ever said to me, he loves me. I must find this God. So the only place he knows where this God is in the church. So he goes to the church on the Sunday, and he sits there and he's waiting for this God, Jesus, to talk to him. And the preacher's just talking about Abraham. He doesn't hear. He says, confusion. I don't hear about this Jesus. Where's this Jesus? Anyway, he goes home. The next Sunday, he goes back to the church, and he sits there. He's waiting for this God, Jesus, to speak to him. And they talk about Moses. He says, where's this God Jesus? I don't know where this God Jesus is. So eventually he gets invited to a rural little church, and then they speak about Jesus and his resurrection. And he gets gloriously saved. And within 2 days he gets water baptized, and something just happens in his life. And I'm telling you, that was 5 years ago that this man, and they baptized him. I don't know what his Indian name was, but they baptized him Joshua. They said, your new name is Joshua. And he goes around by the name of Joshua now, and he's got an incredible testimony of Jesus. God has raised him up as an evangelist, and he's going around from the regions in there, and he's just preaching, and people are getting saved. Incredible. People are getting saved, and he's got a deliverance ministry second to none. He prays, and people get delivered. It's absolutely incredible. He's actually to the place where some of the senior pastors in the local churches there are getting jealous of him, because God's actually using him more than they're using them. So that's amazing. But an incredible man, humble. He took us out to an Indian meal. There's a little Indian restaurant in Bujumbura. I didn't even know that existed. And we had Indian food there. And he was such a blessing to us. And, you know, it's just words of wisdom. He was just saying to me, he said, you know, Mark, God's given me some wisdom. You know, I see these pastors and I see these Christians. And if they preach Abraham and Moses, he says, I don't judge them, but they always come in asking me for money. They always seem to be lacking. But he says, those that are preaching Jesus, they've always got enough. They never ask. And, you know, that struck me. Is that how many of our churches and how many of our lives are we preaching Jesus? And what is our focus Is it the Old Testament or is it the New Testament? Are we focused on the New Covenant? How many, and I'm not being critical here in any way, but I'm trying to evaluate our lives. What is our gospel? Is our gospel Jesus? You know, in the early church, the apostles were told not to preach and teach about Jesus. They were told by the Sanhedrin, you do not talk about Jesus. How much of the church has lost that? How much of that has lost that? And if this man was looking for a God who told him that he loved him and couldn't find him in the church, that's a serious indictment on the church. It's a terrible indictment. And I want to just say is, you know, our vision and our value is to know Christ and to make him known. And then we got together. This was another relationship that sort of broke, Bonavie and Beningi. And Bonavie came and looked for me, and in the hotel we had breakfast together. And he told me this testimony of his wonderful wife. That child is a miracle. She's never menstruated for many years. And the child was born supernaturally. That it was conceived supernaturally, and that which is testing me today. But he was just saying his wife wasn't feeling well, and they didn't know where to go and find out and get a scan. So friends invited them to Ghana, and they did a scan, and they found a tumor on her brain. And they were investigating, should they go to America, and where should they get these things, this thing cut out? Anyway, they started to pray, and they just started to trust God. And all of a sudden, you know, in this process with the tumor, she hasn't menstruated for many years. And all of a sudden, she started to menstruate. And then they realized God has actually healed her. God removed this tumor from her brain that was holding back her body cycle. And incredible, just a testimony of Jesus. This couple here, I never knew who they were. They arrived there. They've been coming to Burundi for some time. They're from America, Mike and Loretta, from a ministry called Real Life Ministries in Idaho, rural Idaho. But they've got a testimony of discipleship, and you know, God used them, and I'm going to investigate what that church is doing. That church moved from 2 families to 10,000 through practicing the Great Commission. And that picked my attention because I think we've got to learn something, not that we're going to follow, but there's something in those divine appointments that God has for us. Okay, what is that? Pardon? No, you're too clever. That's cassava root, that's their staple diet. They dry that out and they grind it and they make like a mealy-meal pop to eat it. They love it. They love their maize also. That's metacelobine. There's the cassava. It's just a root. It's supposed to have no nutrition, but it fills their tummies. And that's one of the local ladies. This wasn't the lady, but that day I was just standing there and she had a whole basket of nachis. And I'm sitting there and the Lord says to me, buy them all. And I'm telling you, I pulled out the francs and I paid for it and we bought the majority of them. And she came and she said, thank you to me, now I can feed my daughter milk. You know, so the Lord has always got a way. And I want to just say through that, if something I learned in this whole thing, it was two things, faith and generosity. Always walk by faith, not by sight, but walk in generosity. You know, have deep pockets that will want to give. You know, God's breaking something over my life. I've been trained as an accountant. An accountant's got a budget. An accountant doesn't spend money. You know that. An accountant doesn't give. But God's breaking over me because he's taking that mold and breaking it over me. But I want to just say to you, be generous. Be generous. My wife's laughing. She's saying amen. Oh, hallelujah. Not say amen. Be generous. Give to God. Give to people. If you can't give of money, give of your time. But most of all, give of your love. Give of your love of touching people and give time to people when you talk to them. I don't, this is off the topic now. But there was a man, I had opportunity to travel to America, to San Francisco, and his name was Mr. Jensen. And he was a Christian man, an engineer, and he loved taking photographs. But he hated taking photographs of scenery. He just wanted to take photographs of people. And all he'd do, when he'll get in, he'd look at people. Every photo must have a person in it. And that actually just transformed my life because how important people are. And he just was so focused on the time that he had with you. How are you? What's going on in your life? Not interested about themselves, but about the next person. And I wanted to say, if we love people, we need to grow up and need to love others. Okay. Okay, that was meeting with just arbitrary. We had a lunch together at the end, and you'll see here, this man here is Dina's brother who lives in the DRC, and that man there lives on the other side of the lake, Fizi. It took him a week to get to Bujumbura, sitting there. You know, when you shake their hands and you feel the earth in their hands, that these people live by faith. You know, they've got to dig and they've got to plant. They're subsistence farmers. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. You know, God is gracious. He loves the poor. And there's Dina and her lovely children, Annie and Moses. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? Look at those smiles. And that's sitting where the humble place, we sit with the pastors for lunch. Whew, do we eat food there? Organic, you don't know what organic food is, boy. You get it in Burundi. And that's the Millie's dad, unfortunately, is not here today, but look at the Millie's grain in Rwanda. I went to Rwanda, and then we went to a place called Butari just to see what the churches were doing. This was a stop on the way. Rwanda is really growing, expanding. God's blessing that nation. And, you know, we have the pit stops on the side of the road. They also have pit stops, but that's the water canister to wash your hands. So they don't have running water like we do. That was the church in Butari. It was a Friday. They called the church out. People came from their work. The children came. And I was just going to go and see what they were doing there. And I landed up preaching. And yeah, the kids were dancing. They split up the school system. Kids go in the morning. Kids go in the afternoon. And these were the kids who were going to the afternoon session and were able to be with us that morning. Yeah, worshiping God and wonderful expressions just to see some of the faces there. They're worshiping God. That's some of the pastors that gathered from that area. That gentleman there has got a church miles away in the rural areas, and only means of transport is a bicycle. He came by his bicycle, but just loves the Lord. That's Gad, who leads the church in Kigali. That's Stephen, our interpreter. This is Pastor John. That's Justin. I can't remember these guys' names, but they're pastors in the area. And they've started a work. They're trying to enrich the community, and they've built a little rooms where they can do some pottery and stuff like that to enable the people to actually grow. That's what the church in Cosmos City has contributed towards, to build three classrooms that people can enrich themselves to get some skills, that they can get some other income. And there was the pottery that they had produced for fires and stuff like that, and she was showing off her wares. Some lovely little stuff. I couldn't bring it back, unfortunately. And yeah, we're having a meal with the pastors. And you know, when you do go to these contexts, please, please eat in their homes. Eat their food. You know, you might think, oh, goodness, I'm telling you, it is incredible when you see the love and hospitality that they prepare. And it might not be fancy meals that we produce, but my goodness, it's just the love of sitting around, sitting with them, not checking what the food is there, believing God that you're going to be fine. And it's incredible. There's some of the pastors. The food's good there. Honestly, the food is very good. I've actually come back and lost some weight. It's not because it's bad. And that's some of the pastors that are there. Look at the smiles. You know, their reward is just as great as in heaven. And that's that man that gets on the bicycle. Just, you know, serve God. They don't even earn a salary. You know that they pass the churches and they get nothing. They've got nothing. And that's why we want to get this improvement program going there, that they can get some income coming in to pay for the pastors. So I moved from Butari to Kigali, with a church that we've been relating to for many years called Glory of Christ Church. And this is some of the elders and their wives. That's Jeremiah. It's not a good photo, but he leads that church there. And this is the outside buildings where they're congregating afterwards. And then what happened in Rwanda, the government came and said, because there were some issues that took place, the churches needed to provide toilets and water and soundproofing and parking for. So the churches were in a bit of a dwang. They didn't have all these things because they're poor. And they've had to provide these things with faith. And this church, Glory of Christ, is actually got some money and really decorated, and it really looks good. You know, I want to tell you a story. After the genocide, they went there and they got this building. They thought they'd built it. They didn't sign paperwork because it wasn't around at that time. But the gentleman next door said, no, the building belongs to him. And he took it over from him, and they had to pay exorbitant rent for the place. And they've been praying and came and asked us. And I said, well, you need to hear God, what he's telling you. So one day the Holy Spirit dropped in their heart, go and look for the boundary stones. They never looked for it before. And they went and they found on the front, they found a boundary stone, and they went to the back, and they found a boundary stone, and they went back to court, and they said, no, we found the boundary stone, this land actually belongs to us. And the court reversed it, and it's become their property. So where this man tried to steal what God had actually given, they got it back, and they're really trusting. And, you know, some of the churches here gave a lot of money, and I took it up there to be with them, and they are so generous. They said, no, we won't take it all for us. We'll distribute it and get all the churches open again. Yeah, some of the kiddies that are outside, they do have a children's school, children's church, but yeah, with some of the kids, you know, they... us Mzungus carry hair. They don't carry hair. And they always come and they fiddle with your hair on your arm. So it's just lovely for them to come and touch and see something that's different. Eh? There's some of the faces. I'll tell that now. Thank you for reminding, Nikki. God loves these people. Eh? He really loves them. Look at those faces. Look at his little face. Eh? And smiling. You know, they're learning English in Rwanda. So everyone comes up to me and says, good morning. And I say, how's you? Good morning. They haven't gone further than good morning yet. And there's a gentleman that had HIV, but God is working in his life. And this little girl here, Stephen, who is the interpreter, had promised her a sweet. And she remembered the next week she came and said with her mom, you promised me a sweet. So he took money out and he gave us to go and buy yourself a sweetie. So children are children. Okay, that's Kigali, downtown Kigali, how the people actually live, but you cannot believe the other side of it actually looks like downtown Sandton with the development that's actually taking place. And that was me flying back home. But I just wanted to, I don't think we've got sound yet, but anyway, I've got sound, Robbie? No sound on you, I don't think I can play on you. Anyway. I don't think it will come through. Then it comes from here. Amen. Amen. Sorry, we're running out of time today. Okay, we're going to break bread, but I just want to do something before we do that. You know, I was spending time with the Lord on, I think it was Thursday or Friday morning, and the scripture that came to me while I was in my daily reading, that 1 Kings 3 verse 3, it says, Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the instructions of his father David. Oh, this is hard for me. I just want to tell you that I love the Lord. He's everything to me. I'm not doing this because I want to and have a position. I'm doing this because I love you and I love the Lord. And my cry to you is, will you love the Lord too? You know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I want to say to you, follow me as I follow Christ. But I also want to say to you, love Christ as I love Christ also. You know, that's my key. I came in that's my passion of my life is to love the Lord. He is first in my life. And you know, when Manny was passing away and he was in a comatose state when I saw him for the last time, the only words that came out of his life that I heard there was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And may Jesus be everything to you. This life is so short. Is so short, and he is everything because eternal rewards are with him. Love Jesus like you've never loved him. Get to know him like you've never known him, and do everything he calls you to do. Don't make your family, don't make your business, don't make anything else more important than him. Because when he called you, he went to the cross and he died for you. I don't know if you understand that, but you're going to be worshiping him forever because he took your place, and we should be in hell. But he came and gave us his life and learned to love him. You know, the Old Testament told the Israelites to love him. In the New Testament, he says, love him as you love one another. And that's what the foundation of Christianity, and that's why we go to the Great Lakes, and that's why we go to our community, that's why we do what we're doing. It's all foundation of God's love for us and the love for him. that's what motivates me in life. So I come to encourage you, as we come to this breaking of bread, is that love the Lord. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. And then my dear friend Dieter. Dieter, I was also just spending time with the Lord, and maybe you want to stand, my friend. The Lord wants to encourage you this morning, and I wrote it down. Dieter, your anointing is to worship the Lord and lead others to worship Him. You are in the order of David as he worshiped the Lord. The devil has come to rob you of the song of the Lord in your heart. Arise and make plans to worship the Lord personally and be used to lead others into worshiping the Lord. So, Father, I just pray over Dieter now that, Lord, as you speaking to him and you taking him into the depth of his calling in you, I pray, Lord, that you would just strengthen him, that, Lord, whatever the blockages are and what are the strongholds that might try and come to prevent him from doing this, I pray, Lord, that you would enable him to stand up and be counted as the one in the order of David, that, Lord, will lead us into fullness of worship. So, Lord, we just release your anointing over Dieter now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're learning. Wonderful. We're going to break bread with the family. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So we're going to break bread. And why do we break bread? To remember the Lord. This is not a religious exercise. We remember our Lord. And we're going to do it as we take the elements and we get close to Him and we just say thank you. Again, that psalmody course, that one message was Israel had to remember how God delivered them out of Egypt. We have got to remember the cross. We've got to remember that Jesus, He paid the price for our sins. He took death that we can live eternal life. And when we come to the Lord's Supper now together, we remember our Lord. We remember Him and we bring thanks and glory to Him. So I'm going to read the scriptures to you, but this is a very personal thing as you remember your Lord as we do together as the body of Christ here today. For I received from the Lord what I passed on you today. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Let's come to the Lord's table in remembrance. I ask you to come and fetch the elements as families, and then maybe to be in your positions, and then we're gonna break bread and we're going to remember our Lord together. As the worship team just play some music in the background, let's come and let's remember our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the children, you won't be breaking bread, but I'd like to pray a blessing upon the children. Has everyone got of the elements? And the Lord said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat and let's rejoice in our Lord. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you for the new covenant in your blood. And we rejoice in you now. Thank you, Lord. Just stay in your positions now. Let's not take the cups in that back. Let's just wait on the Lord. The children at the back there, if maybe the parents can just gather around them, I'd just like to pray a blessing upon them. Let's just pray a blessing. Just lay hands upon them, please. If your child's on your lap, that's wonderful. If you've got your older child next to you, that's also great. Father, we just thank you for our children. And Karen, even that one in your womb, eh? Lord, we just pray a blessing upon our children now. Lord, that they would walk in your ways, they would learn to love you and learn to love others. Put your hedge of protection around them. Will you guide them into truth, in your way, and into know your life? We commit them to you, Father, for the journey that they have to walk. May their walk be fruitful, and may they be like we were encouraged in the prayer meeting, Psalm 1, that they would prosper, Lord. Speak your blessing upon our children and also upon this church, the people. I speak your blessing, Lord, your prosperity over every single one, that whatever we put our hands to, the fruit of our wombs, the fruit of our labor, our love for you, as we belong to you, Lord, may your blessing rest upon every one of us here. Put your hedge of protection over us, Lord. Put your hedge of protection over us and guide us in the paths of righteousness. And too, Lord, we didn't take an opportunity for Craig and Thora as they go to Zambia with Verna and Vivian. Bless them, Lord. May the gospel be proclaimed. May lives be changed. And may there be a testimony of Jesus in all that they do. We thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. I just really sense those that are here today and your spouse is not here. I'm going to pray, but I really believe God wants to bring the spouses back. You are created as one, and God wants the oneness to represent Him. He wants the spouses together in the church. So I'm going to pray for those that do not have their spouse with them through whatever means, no judgment and condemnation. And those are not even represented here today. Father, we just pray as we call upon your name. Well, Lord, will you intervene in the spouses' lives today? Where they need to be saved, where they need to be delivered, where they need to be transformed. That, Lord, that you'll bring them back to their loved one. And you'll bring them back to you. And that, Lord, they'll be able to serve you in your house together, Lord. I proclaim that promise over them, that whatever bondage is over them, whatever restriction is over them, whatever blindness has been put over them, we break that now in the name of Jesus. We set them free, Lord, to serve you. And we rejoice in that you've heard us and that these are going to be fulfilled now. So thank you, Lord, for victory. Thank you for victory now. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I've just forgot something to share. I've shared the testimony of Jesus of people in the Great Lakes. They are coming to us. We're hosting amongst three churches. I don't know how many are going to be here. It's 30 plus. But we need to open up our homes. And if you have it in your heart to be gracious and to sacrifice, to open up your home, they're going to be here for 2 weeks from the 27th of July to the 10th, 11th of August. It's going to be a sacrifice. It's going to be inconvenient. But these people, if you can host them in your home, they're going to be busy during the day, most days, at Cornerstone with stuff there. But if you have the liberty in your heart and you'd like to do that, will you speak to Robbie and put your name down and to host for that? And then, you know, the transport we'll work out to get them to those venues. But I'd love you to experience the nations in your home. You might not be able to speak the language, but I'm telling you, if you just open up your homes, and it's an incredible privilege. You know, I'll tell another story. Stanley came from Bujumbura here, and he said, you know, in Bujumbura, we are hungry, we eat the birds. And yeah, we're in our garden, we're feeding the birds that come. That changed his life forever, because Matthew 6 became a reality. So he's standing in this time, and he's standing in front of the church, he says, this Mark, he feeds the birds. We don't understand that, but he said, it's changed my life. And you know, that morning I'd walked down to the lake and I found a little coffee shop there, and the bird life was on the lake was incredible. And the Lord put in my heart there to get a bread roll, and I fed the birds. That's God's heart. Let's feed the birds. Let's be generous. So if you have it in your heart, you might even not have a space, but if you have it in your heart, please speak to Robbie. Please put your name down. I'd love you to share with the nations in your home and to see what God's doing. Amen. Father, bless these people. We love them. We want the very best for them. May we just continue to serve you and to love you and have a testimony of Jesus every day of our lives now. In Jesus' name. Amen. We love you. Bless you. Come and join us for some tea and coffee. Thank you, worship team. Amen.